Right now, it's time to bring in the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack. That is Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. You can find them on the web at tqag.com, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you the dynamic duo. Hello.
Good morning.
Is that a twofer? Good, yes, it is. Twofer. Unbelievable. Yes. Well, that worked.
There we are.
There you are. I don't know. Talk about what you guys want to talk about. How about?
Well, let's talk about the Levi's. Okay. A pair of Levi's that sold for $100,000, which
privately.
Two of our favorite subjects. We have Levi jeans and wine. That's what we're going to talk about.
All right, so. but the thing that got, I just happened to notice, it was pretty much on the same day. I found those different things. And what struck me was that one was a private sale and one was an auction.
Right.
So, you know, just a reminder to everybody that there's a whole big world out there.
Oh, and there's multiple ways to achieve a sale.
And you have to know that, and that they give, because that's important. There's, I am very curious about the person who collects ancient Levi's.
Yeah. Well, the other point that needs to be made about the difference between auction and a private sale, sometimes a private sale works better than an auction, depending on the item. And sometimes auction works better in a competitive market. So you have to know which is going to work best for you or for your client and go from there. But in
you have to know when to fold them and when to fold them.
And know when to fold them.
Exactly. So I think, first of all, we should probably tell people what we're talking about. How about that? Because I just happened to find the articles and I sent them to you and I sent them to Marshall. But for those of us who weren't privy to that particular interaction.
Well, and it's interesting, Jill, because we were all on the same page. We didn't even open our emails. And Greg said, what are we talking about? I said, well, a pair of Levi's sold over the weekend and a bottle of wine. So let's look it up on the internet. And then there was in our inbox. It was perfect.
We've actually talked about Levi's in the past selling at for a lot of money, but this is probably the most that a pair has sold for, nearly $100,000.
Yeah, and especially at a private sale like this. Yeah. And what that means is that there was an interested seller, interested buyer, and instead of trying to go through an auction, and they already had identified this private buyer, which hopefully is, I would imagine that it is also public record since it's been out in the news, because you always are. The great thing with auction is that it is somewhat transparent, is that you see what is going on. You see that it actually sold, and you hope that it was paid for then at the end, because it does get all that hype. You are assuming that the payment went through. And the same thing happens here with this private sale, is that they put out a press release and everything, and you hope that it's confirmed. But there's always that you make an assumption at the end of the day. So this was great that they were able to get this kind of money for this pair of jeans, which is 125 years old, and they were size 44 with a 36-inch inseam. And the article says, which suggests that the owner was no small man. Okay.
Well, if you look at the photograph that accompanies the article, they're pristine condition, and which got me to thinking, and they were 501s. Now, that got me to thinking, well, okay, how many different styles of jeans were there? And 501 was actually the very first model, if you will, that was put out. And do you know why they called it 501?
Why was it 501?
Well, they're not exactly sure why they chose the number 501, but they used the number to designate this particular style because of the rivets around the stress areas of the waist and the pockets, so that the jeans would last longer. And they were making blue jeans prior to the 501, and they were actually invented by not by Levi Strauss, but by a guy named Jacob Davis. And Levi, he did, Davis couldn't afford to apply for the patents. So Levi Strauss decided to go into partnership with him, and hence became the beginning of the Levi jean as we know it today. And since the first 501 came out in it was actually hit the market in 1880, and since then, they have come up with 13 different styles for men and 7 different styles for women. And the differences, a lot of times, are very minimal. But the biggest thing that happened to the change in Levi's since they hit the market, they were button fly to begin with. And you can still get the 501 in the button fly. But
which used to be extremely hip, I might add. It may still be, or maybe coming back.
Yes. I had to have a pair of 501s when I moved to New York because, you know, in New York, everybody was wearing 501s.
That's right. As did I. But the convenience level, I will say, is, you know, it's probably why we stopped doing, you know what undergarments used to be, so.
Well, did you know that they did not actually put a zipper in the Levi 501, which 501 was the only one they had up until in the 60s. But the 501s did not have a zipper put into them until 1954. And up to that point, everything was buttoned down. And I don't know, Jill, do you remember when Levi jeans, you bought them and they were basically shrink to fit? You'd have to buy them a little larger, and then you would have to keep washing them to shrink them to get them fit.
Yes, and I remember back when, where the only way to size them is you would first, like, some would buy them larger, some would just lie on their beds, teenagers, trying to get them on. And then once they got them on, they would know that that was the size they wanted, and then they would just wash.
Did you guys ever see the Seinfeld episode with Kramer and the 501 jeans that were too tight?
Yes.
And he finally got them on, and he had to walk like a stilt man.
Yeah.
He
right.
So we all have. What I'm kind of interested in, since there are so many different, is why they put zips in a 501 in the 501s, but I guess they had to.
Well, they had to, because I had buttons.
It was because of an outcry.
I wanted a zipper.
It was it was convenience. And because the zipper was actually invented in 1851, but it wasn't, it wasn't readily available in clothing until much later. And then when Levi's introduced it in 1954, they still maintained the button front, but they also put the zippers in. So and also this leads to how old the jeans are. On the ways to tell that you have a vintage pair of Levi 501s. And it has to do with, the first thing is the leather patch on the back. They stopped manufacturing the leather patch in the 50s, sometime in the 50s, because there were so many other jeans out there that were starting to compete that it became too expensive, apparently. So they switched to the heavy cardstock, which is what they have now. So if you have a pair of jeans that has the leather tag on the back of it, you have a pair of jeans that were pre-1950s. So that's one of the ways you can tell if you have a real vintage pair of Levi's. The second pair is that little red tag on the back pocket. If you have an uppercase E in Levi, that's their pocket tab. The uppercase E was on the jeans from 1880 up until 1971 when they introduced the lowercase e. So if you have a pair that has the lowercase e on it, it's after 1971. So these are all, who knew that, you know, Levi's could be so collectible, but they're the biggest, one of the largest markets for them is Asia.
Yes.
Yeah. But in a lot of, not but, in a lot of cases, largest markets for a lot of these things is Asia.
People used to take them when they went on trips to Russia, and they would actually take like 5 or 6 pair of jeans, and they would actually have enough to pay for their airfare back and forth.
Right.
No, really.
Speaking of Russia, did you know that Levi's were banned in Russia for a long time during the Soviet years because they thought it was would lead to capitalism.
Well, not quite.
I don't make this stuff up, you know.
Too little, too late. Hey, I wanted to talk about this bottle of wine. It's a 244-year-old bottle of wine that sells for this record amount. It was like $121,000. When I was reading this, I thought, oh, it has to be a red wine. It's not. It's actually, it's a white wine.
It's a yellow wine.
It's a yellow wine, basically.
It's a Vendôme.
And it's like similar to a dry, fine sherry, which I found interesting. But from 1774, just this old vintage. It was in and kept just in a pristine environment. I mean, just really, that's why it sold for so much. So I wanted to bring that up.
And I'm always amazed because, you know, you never know until it's open if it's okay, right?
Correct. No, you won't.
I have a question for you, Tim, about that. I have a question about, Jill, you had just mentioned about until it's open. But they now have a gadget, a wine gadget, where you don't have to open the bottle of wine. It actually has a very thin needle that goes into the cork, and you can decant a little bit of it and pull it out, and then apparently if the cork is still somewhat pliable, it will close up so that no air gets in. I would wonder if that would be a way of
depends checking. On the type. Well, it depends on the type of, especially from that time period, the what they were using for cork, because was it actual the cork, and would they be able to get the needle in there? Sometimes there's also a wax coating that they would put over that so that to not have the air go through. So then you're permeating the wax coating, and then the air is going to get through. So
I would think for a bottle that old, the capsule, the wax cask capsule would probably be gone anyway.
Yeah, well, hard to tell, but interesting. Right, drink and enjoy the wine.
Well, with that being that being said, do you guys remember this song? I mean, bottle of wine,
when you gonna let me get sober? Our theme song.
Jimmy Gilmer, there you go.
That was the first song I learned to play on the guitar.
All right, guys, great job.
Love it.
Hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Tim, let's get the bottle going.
All right. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you.
Okay, absolutely. Bye.
Take care.
Have a good week, guys.
Yeah, bye-bye. Got enough. Buy me a bottle.